You're muted, Lynn. I muted everybody. So,
Thank you. Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please help me welcome our speaker, Joanne C., a compulsive overeater from Quebec, Canada, and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recorded through the directions in the recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Joanne.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, everyone. How long do I have? I just want to...
30 minutes.
30 minutes. Wow.
I know.
You're going to make me talk. Okay. Thank you. Before we get started, I'd like to start with a little prayer to invite this power that I choose to call God, that has relieved me of the bondage of addiction. God, let thy thoughts be my mind. Let thy words be my voice. Let thy silence be my sound. Let thy love be my spirit. So, hi, my name is Joanne C. I'm a chronic compulsive overeater from Montreal, Canada, recovered by God's grace and love just for today. My abstinent date is February 3rd, 2022. My body has released over 60 pounds to date and still going towards a healthy body weight. So I'm going to share some pictures. How do I share? Pat?
Yeah, just a secy. I'm just going to get into that. Hold on.
I know how to do it.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, just give me a sec. Here we go. Okay, so let's start from some semblance of the beginning. This is me about 6 years ago in sunny California, in full-blown the disease. I had arrived, success financially, work-wise, and doing the things that we like to do when we get a bit of money. We travel. This is me in between some abstinence and thinking that I can eat a piece of that cake right here. It's my daughter's birthday. This is me a couple of years ago. It was, again, my daughter's birthday, and you can see the progression of this disease. I was in full-blown relapse and disease. This is me almost 2 years ago, a little over 2 years, less than 2 years ago, sorry, or already was working the steps in Toronto with family. And you can see my smile is changing. I hope it has. This is me about a year and a half ago. I was already sponsoring and present in family occasions. The smile doesn't only go to my lips, but also in my eyes. This is me last Christmas with my nieces and nephews, having a hay time baking Christmas cookies with them. And thank you, God, neutral to what they were eating, baking, and sharing. And this is me again this past winter in Burlington, Ontario, sharing the lovely Festival of Lights during Christmas time. And this is my partner and I in Paris, France, taking advantage of life and enjoying the moments and being present in the relationships and the people in my life. This is me in Europe this summer, traveling around and just enjoying. And this is me just before Christmas, enjoying another family event and just being not only neutral to the foods that were around me, but also encompassing the joys of the people in my life. So I just wanted to share with you. And so I'll go back here. Let's go. Stop sharing. There we go. Okay, so the years of the physical abuse on my body has taken its tolls. I have health issues that make my weight loss much slower than the average. Obviously, in my 60s, it's not the same as it in my 20s or 30s or even 40s. But I have of late been diagnosed with an autoimmune issue, and it has complicated my thyroid and my hormonal balance, if you will. But my body is slowly being healed from the overeating and countless loss and weight gain over the years. But also the mental and spiritual bondage that I had in this disease has also affected my body. And the issues in my tissues is slowly being healed as well. And it's really in God's time and His pace, and I've accepted that. So how I'm going to break down my strength, experience, and hope is my life in the disease and how it progressed, my last binge and working the steps, and my life in recovery today. So I'll start with my life in the disease. My first memory of how food made me feel was about 5 or 6 years of age. I remember a little friend of mine. I would always go to her house because her grandma's pantry was full of the good stuff. It was full of Mae Wests and Joe Louis for you Canadians. I think you could remember that. It's the Canadian version of Debbie's cakes and all sorts of cookies. My house was boring. My mom used to make homemade stuff, and it wasn't the same as the store-bought stuff. This is the first memory that I remember on how I manipulated people, 5 years old, into getting what I wanted. All I know was that I liked the taste and it made me feel good. My mom, I remember also, must have been 7 or 8 or 9, had to buy ice cream every week, or else I was not happy. I remember complaining all the time that I was hungry, and it seemed that I never was full enough. So obviously my weight started piling up at age, I remember as early as 10. It was a 10-pound, pleasantly plump thing. In my early teens, food became more and more important. It just made me feel good. I think I suffered from teenage depression, and ease and comfort was my way of dealing with it. In the big book, I like at the bottom of page XXVII, when I became restless, discontent, or fearful, I again needed to experience a sense of ease and comfort, which came at once by taking the first bite of certain types of food that had flours and sugar and other high fat ingredients, what I call today my alcoholic foods. I liked the effect food produced. It suited me. It did for me what I could not do for myself. And so began the 45 years of my exceptional personal relationship with food. My identity, my worth, was based on whether I was skinny or not. Skinny meant I was part of life and successful, and fat meant I was no good and a failure. At 19, I came to my first OA meeting in Montreal, thinking I just had 20 pounds to lose and I would be fine. I lost the weight and life was good again and left the rooms. I was a normal eater with a sweet tooth and a little weight problem. My food eating life was normal. I could eat with impunity, no consequences there. The sensation was so elusive that while I knew it was injurious in the back of my mind, I could not differentiate the truth from the false. I did not understand any of the spirituality of this program in the big book. My solution was lose the weight and go live life. No Saint Helen for me. And so for the next 20 years, I tried to manage myself to a normal weight, and so I thought, not understanding that my body biochemically reacted different to certain ingredients from foods that I ate. The more I ate them, the more I ate them. A craving that made me hungrier, and then the mental twist. That was normal way of life. I forgot every binge from the past. I gained and lost weight, exercise plans, therapy that science offered me, and then some. The result of that 20-year field trip work was almost 100 pounds heavier. In November of 2000, I walked back into the rooms, desperate, but not desperate enough for recovery. I did have moments of abstinence, not recovery. Page 31, I'd like to share with you. It says, self-deception and experimentations. That was my next 21 years. They will try to prove themselves exception to the rule. Therefore, non-alcoholic, therefore non-compulsive overeater. What happened was the big book suggests the only relief we have was entire abstinence from our alcoholic food. I was still not convinced. I still had to manipulate that. What convinced me was every binge for the next 21 years was that I was the type of the compulsive overeater, entirely normal, accepting the effect of my binge foods it had upon me. I was often able, intelligent, friendly, outgoing, successful, but this disease is progressive and had affected my life, no longer in an easier, softer way. Page 52 sums up my life. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional nature. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't even be able to, seem to be able to be of real help to other people because I was so in my self. So that, after 21 years, that was my last binge. The next part of my life comes to when I started working these steps. I never understood the message or the solution of the big book was offering me. And therefore, I could never have experienced any spiritual awakening, let alone spiritual experience. You see, my problem was the lack of power. I had 40 years of field work and proof that I could not manage. What finally convinced me was on December 2021, I got COVID and I started binging because I thought I was going to die. I thank God for that binge and all the past binges. It did take almost 40 years. But this was the crossroad of my life. I consciously realized for the first time in my life that this disease was going to be the death of me. I finally took it seriously, life and death. The pain of the food had finally become greater than the ease and comfort I searched. It no longer gave it to me. But I couldn't stop, hence the lack of power. End of January 2022 was my last binge. For that day, grace came into my life in a way that I never knew before. I did not have one single better idea left. I was done. It was at that moment I was willing to do anything, for I knew I was hopeless. This disease is the best convincer for willingness and surrender. This is but a miracle of healing. Circumstances, the years of relapses, made me willing to believe and accept the fundamental truth that I could not stop the obsession or the compulsion of this food addiction. That is step one for me. Page 517 of the big book sums up for me anyway, that the 40 years that I was in the addiction. You see, I believe that we get more than one moment of grace from God, but it is up to us to seize the moment by taking action. I finally was ready to take action. So I got on a Vision for You meeting and found my sponsor. Actually, I had two. My sponsor on step four relapsed, and I had to find a sponsor. Within that one day, I found my sponsor that I have today. God does not abandon us. So my sponsor, when I first started the step, was like a breath of fresh air. She took me through the steps to this power that I did not know what it was. But at this point, I was willing to try anything just to have the food voices in my head stop. So I chose to call this power God based on the God that I knew in my religion. But I needed more than that. I needed a God that would protect me from the crazy voices in my head and the thinking, and to lift the bondage of self and the addiction to compulsively overeat. So at each step, I prayed for enough willingness to do the work, to surrender, to do the food prep, to be on meetings, and just go to work, take care of home. That was it. At each step, the surrender and the willingness became more. Through the 12-step process, we are going to have a relationship with God, the great reality that was becoming alive in my life. All I know is that I stayed stopped one day at a time from picking up these foods. Each step came a deeper surrender, and with it, a deeper spiritual awakening. The awakening that my way was killing me. What I thought was protecting me, food, was killing me. These 12 steps have been the path to a heart, a spirit change that has led to a psychic change that has healed my mind and my body. God's will centers my heart. It centers my soul. It centers my mind, and it guides my actions. The great reality on page 55, which I love to hear, is the following. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. For most of my life, I looked at people, places, and things to validate me, to define me, to make me whole. And these steps made me realize that this power is within me. God restores us to our right minds by living in God-centered thoughts. We do God-centered actions. Page 25. The great fact is just this, that nothing else, that we have had a deep and effective spiritual experience, which has revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, towards our fellows, and towards God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. So what food used to do for me, lead me towards death, God does for me. He leads me towards life and towards the person I am today and the person of a potential Joanne. Today, I stay remembered because the mental twist makes me forget. I stay remembered in the fundamental truth that I am a compulsive overeater, and only by God's grace and love, I have a daily reprieve. What does that mean in my life? It means that the most important relationship in my life is the relationship with this power that I choose to call God. And like in every other relationship that I have in my life, I have to make time and listen and be guided. In step 4, 5, 6, and 7, I learned what blocked me. In step 6 and 7, I learned what the spiritual principles. What do I need to be and do in order for me to live in God's will for my life today? And I believe that my spiritual principles of gentleness and tenderness, of acceptance, are the characteristics of this God, this power. And as so long as I have a close relationship with God, I'm okay for today. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm Sister Teresa and I love perfect. God knows I'm far from that. My character defects, which I call character defenses, they worked till they didn't work anymore. They come up and I have a different way of living through step 10, 11, and 12. Step 10 makes me realize that practice makes better and that I don't have to beat me up like the disease beat me up, that I'm human, I make mistakes, I correct them, and I go on and help somebody else. Step 11 gives me an idea of how my day goes, it's just in case I miss something in step 10. And step 12 is I pass what was freely given to me to somebody else. The true message of recovery, this power. The joys of sponsoring keeps me remembered when I go through the big book, Doctor's Opinion, Bill's Story, We Agnostics. It makes me remember and say, thank you, God. And there's an awakening every time with every sponsee when I take them through the steps, is that I'm just the person who reads with them. The power does the psychic change and the spiritual experience. Today, I try to live the best I can to be present in the people in my life, to be God-centered by not being so much in self-centeredness, self-pity, dishonesty. And when that happens, I got a new way. I got steps 10, 11, and 12. And the fellowship of this program has been amazing. Last week, I was at the OA, LA OA big birthday party.
5 minutes.
Thank you. Seeing the miracle of all those people. And I met my sponsor for the first time. It was amazing. It made my recovery real. This is not a theory. For those who are chronic relapsers, lean closely. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And for whatever reason that day, I just saw clarity for that moment to be willing to do something else. And today I live knowing that I just have this day to live. Tomorrow is, yesterday is past, and tomorrow is the potential of what I could be. But today is what I am today. And compulsive overeating no longer defines me. It is God's love for me that defines me. And today I am enough as a human being with all my frailties. I've learned how to treat myself with love and tenderness, something that my higher power has taught me. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.